It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti, investigative reporter for the Tribune Review, in for Ball Guggenheimer. Later in the program, don't write any obits just yet. Despite competition from chains and online vendors, independent booksellers are alive and well. And while southwestern Pennsylvania has its fair share of high school football stories, author Greg Nichols chronicles one of the best in his book, Striking Gridiron. All of that's later in the program. Up front, we'll turn our attention to politics, with Vice President and possible Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden coming to town this weekend. Why shouldn't Pennsylvania's primary be as important as New Hampshire's primary or the Iowa caucus? We've invited two longtime political consultants to weigh in. Joining us by phone from Harrisburg is Charlie Giroux, political consultant and CEO of Quantum Communications. Charlie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be with you, Andy.
Thanks. Also joining us by phone from here in Pittsburgh is political consultant Bill Green. Bill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon.
Charlie, I read an essay you wrote in which you made the case for an earlier primary. The Commonwealth already moves its primary up from May to late April in presidential years. But you and others have suggested that more money would come to the state by moving up the election even earlier, to March. Why do you think that's such a great idea?
Well, it's not simply money coming to Pennsylvania, Andy. It's relevance coming to Pennsylvania politically. I mean, right now we are in no man's land. You're correct. We have historically moved our presidential primary up about a month from its usual spot in mid-May, but that's a distinction without a difference because we are still way, way late in the process. And as a result, we get no attention politically, and we get none of the economic advantages of having the traveling show come through Pennsylvania. The only times in recent memory that that's happened were in 2008 when the Democrats were still battling between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and we saw the explosion across Pennsylvania, not only politically but economically. And back in 1976 when Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford were duking it out among the Republicans, we got a little bit of a blip, but even then it was marginal. So moving the primary up to when it would count would have tremendous political and economic benefit for the Commonwealth.
Bill, when I think about it myself, you've been around politics for a long time. This seems like one of those things that voters would like, and certainly journalists, I know we would love to have a more relevant presidential primary, but the parties have been opposed to it. Leaders from both the Democrats and Republicans have said they're against this idea. What do you see as the problem with moving up the primary?
Well, it complicates the process tremendously. We have a very elongated series of steps that must be taken to get a name on a ballot. Remember, on a Pennsylvania primary, whether it's in April, whether it's in May, it isn't just presidential candidates are running. There are statewide candidates for other offices, be the U.S. Senate, governor, row offices, etc. There's also the entire state legislature runs during a presidential cycle, the entire state house, I should say, half of the state Senate, and, of course, all of the 13 congressmen are 19 congressmen. So you have a point where this is involves a lot more people. And our petitioning process and time to challenge petitions and so on backs you up pretty much. And May may be too late when we have it on the off years. April, I think, is just fine for when we have presidential years. You know, Ed Rendell wanted to change this back in 08, and he tried, and it didn't succeed then. I think it's just a self-serving idea that some political people think, wouldn't it be cool if someone was datelined out of Philadelphia or Pittsburgh for a night? I think it's more self-serving than that. And quite frankly, the way it's been operating, having it in April, is still, you can still be significant and play a significant role, particularly in primaries like 08 or a primary like next year, when we're going to have so many candidates on both ballots, that they need time, in fact, to be in this state, to organize it, to tour it, and to campaign in it. And coming off a very front-loaded schedule of primaries, I think to add this state of this size to that grouping, let's say it's going to be, the idea is 3 or 4 weeks ahead of this, maybe having in February or early March, I think does not give us significance, but in fact gives us less significance, and does not have the same impact. So, you know, I frankly think it was decided to move it from May to April to have the same impact that Charlie's talking about now. And, you know, I mean, when do you start? Well, you know, why don't we just move it to December?
Right. Well, Charlie, I'm curious in your thoughts, because, I mean, Bill, I mean, he makes the point that certainly the registration period would go back, and perhaps even into December for, you know, early registrations if we had a March primary. And people are already saying, you know, like they do. I was in the store the other day and saw Halloween candy. Like, can't be possible already time for Halloween. But people are saying, you know, presidential politics already start too soon. What about that complaint? Now we would have the political process starting at Christmas.
If presidential politics start too soon, we're behind the eight ball. I mean, that's the point. You can say it starts too soon, but frankly, people love it. You had more viewers to the Republican debate in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago than ever before. So people, although they may say that they don't care about things happening right now, they do, and they're tuned in, and they're aware, and they're anxious. And to say Pennsylvania shouldn't be relevant, to me, just seems kind of silly. Bill Green's a brilliant guy. We've been friends for a long time, but I don't know where this notion of it being self-serving to move the primary up comes into play, unless you're talking about serving for your industry, which would make a tremendous amount of money. The media, you know, stands to recognize tremendous profits and gain, and presumably distribute them among the economy of the Commonwealth if the primary gets moved up. But the voters do too, because we'll get paid attention to. Every single voter in this state all of a sudden becomes relevant, whereas right now it is highly speculative that we're going to be relevant at all. We may be this year. We may get fortunate because there are so many candidates that we're still, we have a process in play by the time we get to Pennsylvania. But that hasn't happened in nearly half a century among the Republicans. It's been a walkover by the time we got to Pennsylvania. And frankly, our votes really didn't count. And for, you know, folks that are involved politically, it's tremendously important. But I think for everyday, ordinary walking around citizens, it's important as well, because their votes matter, and the attention that presidential candidates pay to people in Iowa and New Hampshire could well be spent here in the beautiful Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, there's no question. I mean, 7 years ago, it was a big deal. I remember Barack Obama,
it was a huge deal,
stomping around the state, and Hillary Clinton even came into the Tribune Review. I mean, you can imagine, you know, how big a deal that was, right, at the Trib where I work. Bill, what do you think about that in terms of Pennsylvania leaving some of this relevancy on the table and some of the money? Why not go out and get that money?
I don't know what the relevancy is, Charlie. I don't know if you're pulling my leg. Look, the purpose of the primary is what? Is to elect delegates to the respective conventions, correct? That's the purpose of this thing. It's not, you know, just because someone wins the majority of the voters does not mean they win the majority of the delegates in Pennsylvania. They're two separate ballots. There's a popular ballot.
But historically, Bill, the delegate selection process
and then there's
has been over before Pennsylvania held
Charlie,
the primary.
One at a time here with the talking. I'm curious with Vice President Joe Biden coming into town for the Labor Day parade this weekend. If you looked at the Democratic side of this discussion, certainly it seemed that maybe no one would be relevant. Maybe we'd have a candidate, you know, before the primaries and caucuses even started. I'm curious, you know, having both of you on the line, let's start with the Democratic Party. How do you see this playing out? Do you think there will be a relevant Democratic primary by the time it gets to Pennsylvania next year? And how might it look? Charlie, what do you think?
Well, I think that Hillary Clinton's campaign is coming unglued on a daily basis, and so I think it's very likely that there's going to be a spirited and very competitive nominating process on the Democratic side. I mean, I don't think that's far-fetched at this point. You know, up until now, it had been, you know, we're simply going to coronate Hillary Clinton and move along, but with the email debacle and scandal that she's involved in and other things that have occurred under her watch, there's increasing question about her trustworthiness and her credibility. And I think her campaign is in real trouble. I think Joe Biden does get in the race. Bernie Sanders has already made a significant contest out of it for her. So it's going to be a rock'em sock'em contest. Whether or not it rolls into Pennsylvania is another question altogether. And I would say it is at best highly speculative that either the Republican or the Democratic contests are going to still be in play by the time we get to Pennsylvania, because we are so late in the process.
Yeah. Bill, what do you think on the Republican side? There's so many candidates out there right now. Will there be any clarity, you know, early in the process and you know, to the point where there's not even an issue by the time they get to Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Look, I think Rick Perry's dropping out in a week or so. Lindsey Graham is dropping out soon. No one can sustain a campaign for the next 7 or 8 months at a level that's demanding. And look, once you get past Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, you're going to have a lot of people drop out at that point because they're just going to run out of money and they won't be getting any delegates, and it will be perceived that they're losers. And remember, you got 17 Republican candidates, which is excuse me, an astounding number. And I don't think we're going to see any more than maybe 5 or 6 that will be actually, well, they could all be on a ballot, I suppose, but I think only 5 or 6 active candidates by the time April comes around.
Donald Trump, do we still
and that's
see?
That's going to be an expensive race.
Do you see, is Trump still there by the time it comes around to, you know, the early primaries, if not by Pennsylvania's? Bill?
I'm sorry.
I just wonder if you think Donald Trump, I mean, he's certainly sucking up all the oxygen right now. He's getting all the media attention. But
well,
do you think it's for real?
Yeah, I think he's the type that will sustain it because he can afford to sustain it. Yeah, he's sucking up all the oxygen, but I've yet to see whether or not, you know, he's actually appealable to voters. We have all these, you know, wild polls back and forth, but I think we have to wait and actually see what a voter has to say before I think he's creditable.
Charlie, on your side, talk a little bit about the logistics of this whole early primary idea. If people even got behind the idea now, is there still time to pull off an early primary for 2016?
Oh, yeah, there's no question that there's time to do it, and there's legislation sponsored by Republicans in the General Assembly to do that. Whether or not there's a legislative appetite remains to be seen, but frankly, to me, this is a no-brainer. And the argument that it complicates the process, you know, to be very blunt, is specious. I mean, at the very most, it would move the process up 1 month, and that, you know, isn't going to complicate anything. If you've got to go out and get the circulation of petitions, regardless of whether it's in February or January, you've got to go out and get the legislative candidates on the ballot, regardless of whether it's in February or March. I mean, it all has to be done regardless of when it happens. And doing it earlier has incredible benefit and, frankly, no downside other than this. Well, it means we have to go out in colder weather to get the petition signatures. Well, you know, where I live, it's as equally cold in December as it is in January as it is in February.
I was going to say it's going to be cold regardless, right?
Exactly.
Right. In terms of, you know, you've also mentioned, Charlie, this idea of bifurcating the process where you'd have perhaps the presidential election early on and then, you know, the local races, the congressional races that Bill talked about, those would still take place on a later schedule. Is there any merit to that, separating this out, getting the attention for the presidential candidates, and then, you know, allowing
to be very candid, Andy, the only reason that argument is advanced is as a pushback against this notion that moving the primary somehow gets complicated. Frank, I don't think it's a good idea because it's expensive. But some states do it that way, precisely because of the argument that's been advanced about, you know, the poor legislators having to go out in the cold weather and get petition signatures. They bifurcate the primary and have a presidential primary earlier, and the contest for state offices and the legislature later. I don't think that makes much sense, but you could do it that way. And the reason I don't think it makes a great deal of sense is because of the cost.
Bill, how much do you think is this is just one of those Pennsylvania issues where it's a matter of control and the parties like the idea that they can control the process now? It happens on their schedule. They're comfortable with it. And if they did this, it would cede some control to perhaps the national parties that would come in and the national candidates, and they would have a much bigger say in it. How much of that is what's going on here, Bill?
Oh, I don't think these parties are at all concerned about being taken over by a national party. These two parties in this state are venerable and have been around for a very long time, and they're respected in and of themselves. I think the concern I continue to have is logistical, as well as the fact that you become just one of many that are running in April or looking at March. I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at 15, 18 primaries in March. I mean, how can we be at all significant when you're competing with all of that? And how can a campaign truly get in here and spend money when it's spending money, you know, from Louisiana to North Carolina to Colorado to Alaska. I mean, I just don't think you just become one of many locked in. At least at the time that we're scheduled now, which is late April, we're still only one of three states that are voting that day, and we still could play some significance. And I would reiterate the fact that we are not doing the popularity contest. We're selecting delegates for this contest. So someone can win the popular race, and someone totally different can win all the delegates. So it's really a two-tiered process when it comes to this primary. I'm not saying it's ideal, but I've seen us try and do these things before, and we're not very good at this. And you know, Charlie, this would be great if we started it in like January of 17, looking to the next presidential election. But trying doing it now, we can't get a budget done, let alone anything else. We don't have an attorney general that's functioning. I just don't think this is time to try and put this into the legislative calendar and hope it comes out all right.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there for today. This whole presidential discussion seems like it should be a long, long way off, but I have a feeling it's going to be on us much sooner than we're even aware. And, you know, it's just right around the corner in terms of, you know, getting ready for politics. So, Charlie Giroux and Bill Green, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
You're welcome.
Great to be with you.
Coming up, we will hear how independent bookstores in the region are not only surviving, but in some cases thriving. I'm Andy Conti, in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.